Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message from our visiting guest ministry will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
So good to be here today. I love Pastor JJ and Paulina. They've been good friends of my wife, Alyssa, and I for quite some time now, and it's an honor to be here with you today. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to be diving into the book of Acts today, so you can open that up with me. But before we do, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Who thought there was a beautiful presence of God in the room over worship today? So, so special. Let's just honor him in this word that he'd speak to us today. So wherever you are sitting in the room, why don't you just open your hands and open your heart to the Lord. Holy Spirit, we give you this service today. And we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word. God, you know the areas of our heart that need your encouragement. You know the areas of our life that need correction. Lord, you know exactly what we need to grow in the likeness of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, you would come and you would move in this room today. I pray, Lord, that people would be filled with boldness. I pray, Lord, that we would live for something greater than ourselves, that we would not live in survival mode, but we would live in revival mode. I pray, Lord, that we would not only live for ourselves, but we would live for others. We would live unto Christ, and Christ, your mission was unto the lost. Your mission was unto others. And God, I pray that you would put the same mind in us that was in Christ. Put the same heart in us that was in Christ. We invite you, maybe some of you need to say this on your lips. We invite you to convict us. There's like three people who said that. Lord, we invite you to convict us. His conviction is good. He convicts us unto righteousness. He leads us in the way of life and everlasting, on the paths of righteousness. Lord, we invite you to convict us this morning. Stir our heart for what stirs yours. We don't want to be like those people who build things you never asked us to build, Lord. We want to build what you've called us to build. We want our lives to reflect your glory. When we get to heaven, we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. God, I thank you for the people who have sacrificed and invested their time, energy and efforts for the kingdom of God in this place, for the volunteers, for the worship team, for the staff, for those who have poured out their prayers and poured out their heart so we could be in the presence of God today and rest and receive and hear you speak. God, we honor them. And I pray, Lord, you would stir our hearts and lead us into the purposes and the plans that you have for our life. And may it be a ripple effect through our city, through our family. May our lives be like a ripple effect across Australia and to the nations. And every seed that is sown and every prayer that is prayed, I thank you, Lord, that it is not wasted. For your word shall not return void. Lord, I bless this church. I bless these people. I pray you'd speak to us today and do whatever you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So good. Well, I know as a congregation, you have been on this series called People of Purpose. And I love speaking about purpose. I love seeing people on purpose. I love seeing people find the mission for their lives. And at our city campuses where I usually worship in Richmond, and I get the honor to serve as the missions and outreach pastor. And as in that role as the mission and outreach pastor, I get to see people often awakened to the purposes of God and see them sent out and influencing their areas of influence, their world for Jesus. And I pray that today you would look at your area of influence differently. I pray today that the people you walk past daily, the people and the places that you frequent, I pray that you would see them through the eyes that Christ sees them, and that you would recognize what you have within you, that God is filling you with himself so that not only you would feel good on a Sunday, but you would impact the world around you for his name. And so on this series of People of Purpose, I find it so fascinating, and it never ceases to amaze me how unique and different people are. Like the people of God, as although we're being formed into the image of Christ, we are also unique, and the gifts and the talents and the personalities and the unique expression and creativity that God has put inside of us is so vast across the world, across different churches, across different denominations and people groups. But we all are given this one common mission. Despite our differences, we are all given this one common mission. And the gospel writer Matthew in chapter 28, he calls it the Great Commission. Doesn't call it the Great Suggestion, but rather the Great Commission. And I think if these were Jesus's last words, they ought to be our first priority. And in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go into the world and make disciples of all nations." Did you know he said this immediately after the disciples bowed down and worshipped him? See, they got down on their knees and they begin to worship him. And his response to their worship was, "Thank you, now go." So it's almost like the continuation and the overflow of our worship is that we don't just stay on our knees, but we get back on our feet and we go. And that's why we come in on a Sunday. Every Sunday we steward these meetings and we steward our time on a Sunday morning to come into the presence of God, to worship at his feet. But then on Monday we must go into all the world. I love it how Mark records Jesus giving this mission. He says, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe." Anyone believe this morning? That's good. There's about 16 people that believe this morning. Anyone believe this morning? "Then these signs shall follow those who believe. They will, in my name, cast out demons, speak in new tongues, pick up serpents in their hands, drink any deadly poison, and it will by no means harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Do you believe it this morning? Can you see that Jesus gave us a mission? He gave us a mission. He was a man on mission. It says that Jesus came, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus was on a mission, and before he ascended into heaven, he passed that mission on to us. Although we are unique and different and we have our different personalities and creativity and we have these different expressions of the life that God has given us, we all have this common mission. We share together in this mission. A mission to seek and to save the lost, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, to make disciples of all nations, healing humanity, bringing them back into a relationship with the God who created them. And he wants to fill you with the power of his Holy Spirit so that you have the strength and power from on high to participate in this mission and to see the world transformed by the power and love of Jesus. The reality is that there are many people around the world today, many people around Melbourne who still don't know Jesus. You know, sometimes I go out on the streets on a Friday night with some friends and we'll go and share the gospel with people. Very relationally, we'll walk the streets and we'll just chat to people. "Hey, how you going? How's your day going? Hey, random question, do you know Jesus?" And many people think they know of Jesus, but they know of Jesus based on what they've seen in a movie or maybe what they've heard from somebody else, maybe what they've heard passed down through school or heard from a teacher or a parent or someone, but they don't really know Jesus. But you know what breaks my heart even more is that there are people who have migrated to this country, to this beautiful land, and they've lived here for 5 years and never even heard someone whisper the name Jesus. I met a man not long ago from the Middle East. He was in Richmond getting takeaway food, and I felt to ask him, "Hey, mate, I want to ask you this question. Do you know Jesus?" And he goes, No, I don't know Jesus. I was able to share the gospel with him there. But did you know that there are people in our own backyard who have never even heard the name? I remember back home in Queensland where I was born and raised, that there was a young Aussie guy who was about 18 years old, and we started training at the gym, and I met him at the gym, and one day he was coming on a walk with us on a hike, and on this hike he started to ask us questions about what we believe, because he knows that we attend church. And as he's asking these questions, I start sharing about Easter coming up, and I said, "Does your family celebrate Easter?" And he said, "I mean, we have a holiday, but what do you mean by celebrate Easter?" And I shared to him, "You know what Easter's all about?" He goes, "No, not really." And I said, "Did you know that Jesus died on a cross for the forgiveness of our sins, that he lived, he walked, and then he died, and then the Bible says on the third day he rose again?" So we have Good Friday, and then we have Easter Sunday, and I'm starting to explain this to him, and he goes, "That's Easter? Hang on a second. Wait a second." And he has this big revelation, the light bulb came on. And he goes, "Wait a second. Are you telling me that the same baby Jesus at Christmas is the same Jesus who died on the cross at Easter?" I'm saying, "Yes, mate, it's the same Jesus." He goes, "Wait, I need to know the story of Jesus." And we were able to share with him on this hike the story of Jesus. He started coming to church. He gave his life to Jesus. And God impacted him in a deep and profound way. But the sad thing of that story is that this young Aussie guy has gone through school up until 18 years of age and doesn't even know who Jesus is. There are people in our world who are lost, who are looking for hope, and they don't realize that the hope they're looking for is found in Jesus. There are people that are looking for healing, people searching for their identity, but you can't truly know your identity until you know the one who created you. You can't find your identity in the world. You have to find it in the hands of your Maker. And there are people that are lost and hurting in this world, whose soul is bound, who are riddled with demons, people that are hurt and broken and suffering from trauma and pain. And Jesus wants to heal them. And we have the hope of the world, the light of the world, living inside of us. But sometimes, I don't know if we really believe it. If we truly believe the gospel was good news, maybe we'd share it more often. Because I really believe this thing. I know as a church, we really believe this thing. But I believe the Holy Spirit wants to wake us up that we would live for something beyond ourselves. Can I dare to say that we would actually live for something beyond our church? Some of us think, you know, I live beyond myself. I come to church, I tithe, I serve, I get involved, I pray with people. But can I say that Jesus didn't die on a cross so that we could hide in a little building on a Sunday? His prayer that he prayed was, "Lord, Heavenly Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He didn't pray, "Father, your kingdom come at a building called Numa East, in that place as it is in heaven." No, he said, "On earth as it is in heaven." The only way we're going to see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven is if we follow the Great Commission. That we would be filled with the Holy Spirit, not just for goosebumps during worship, but so that people's lives would be transformed. Jesus isn't walking the earth anymore and laying hands on the sick. He is doing it through his body. He's ascended into heaven, but he wants to fill you with his Spirit so that you would now go and extend his mission to the ends of the earth. Amen? So I want to open this morning to the book of Acts chapter 3, because in Acts chapter 3, we see this profound story where I believe the Holy Spirit could speak to us and show us some things that the early church did in order to reach the lost, and the ways that they loved the lost and they loved the broken, and how God used them to do such things through this one simple story. And in Acts chapter 3, kicking off in verse 1, it says this. It's the story of a lame man who was at the gate called Beautiful, outside the temple, this beautiful big temple with amazing creativity and designs and architecture is beautiful. And at the front of the temple, they had this gate. And this gate was called Beautiful because it was probably decorated maybe with bronze or silver or precious stones. But here's this beautiful gate. And at the feet of this beautiful gate lays this lame man who could not walk from birth. And here he is, this broken man at this gate called Beautiful. And Acts chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask for alms from those who attended the temple." So he's asking for money or gifts or charitable donations to himself, for himself. And here it says, verse 3, "who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.'" Somebody say, "Look at us." "So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you.'" How many people know that there are people in your world that are searching for something, something they think is going to fix their problems? And you may not be able to give them something, but if you could just give them Jesus, if they could just see Jesus the way you've seen him, if they could experience him the way you've experienced him, maybe something in their life would change. They said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. Who would like to have seen that day? Oh, I would have. It says in verse 8, "So he, leaping up, stood up and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Such a powerful story. Can I tell you that these stories in the Bible, especially those in which we see in the book of Acts, are not written in history, but they are still happening today. They are still happening today. You know, across our churches, across Melbourne and Australia and even across the global church, there are testimonies filling up of people receiving a miracle-working touch from the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. God is still moving today. And can I tell you, he's not only moving through ministers, he's not only moving through pastors and leaders, he is moving through the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, the children of God. Jesus doesn't say these signs shall follow those who do Bible college and join a staff team. It says those who believe. I have seen some of the most unlikely people in church be used by God for his miracle working power. I have seen some of the most unlikely people, some of the most or the least confident people be used by God to share the gospel with somebody else and see them give their life to Jesus. Because God is moving through his church. I want to draw today three things we see from this scripture that we can learn from the early church and in this particular encounter, three things we can action in our lives today. The first one is this. The first thing the Holy Spirit showed me in this passage is that they were on their way. They were on their way. You know, the miracle didn't happen in the temple. It happened when they were on their way. The miracle didn't happen in the prayer meeting or in the worship service or at the altar call. The miracle happened when they were on their way. And I think too many Christians discard an opportunity for God's power to move because they expect it to happen in the heat of the moment when worship is resounding and the presence of God is falling and the whole church is singing together and they think the miracle moment's going to happen right now. I think we miss so many miracles because we didn't realize that God actually wanted to move even when we were on the way. Can I tell you, miracles are happening when you're on your way to church. Can I tell you, on your way to work, God wants to move through you. On your way to a prayer meeting, God wants to minister through you. On your way home, on your way to lunch, God wants to move in power. You know, I remember only a few months ago, we took a missions team to Sri Lanka. And when we were on our way to church, we ordered a taxi and the driver came in the van and he started driving us along. And one of my great friends, Phil Caruana, he was in the front seat, the passenger seat, and he was talking to the driver. And we discovered that this driver was Muslim. And after chatting with him a while, Phil said to him, "Hey, mate, you know, we're on the way to church and this is the gospel and this is what we believe and this is why we're worshiping Jesus. What do you think about that?" He goes, "Oh, I don't believe in that. You know, I only believe in one God, Allah." So we believe in one God too, but he is a Trinity. He is Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he's revealed himself to us through Jesus. And he's like, no, I don't believe in any of that. We said, Phil said to him, "Well, mate, do you have any pain in your body right now as you're driving?" The guy was confused that he would ask such a question, but he says, "Well, actually, my shoulder is really sore." And so as he's driving, he identifies his shoulder is sore. He's moving it around. He says, "I have a lot of pain. I don't have good mobility." And Phil said, "If we prayed for your shoulder in the name of Jesus and it got healed right now, would you believe in Jesus?" And he said, "Okay, I'd believe in Jesus." And he said, "Would you notice a difference if we prayed?" He said, "Oh, absolutely. I've had pain for a long time." And so right then and then, I wish I had the photo on the screen for you because I do have a photo of it. Phil leans over on the passenger side. He lays his hand on this driver's shoulder and says, "In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you. You love him. Shoulder be healed in Jesus' name." You're smiling because you know Phil. He's like, "That's something Phil would do." A simple prayer, not a long prayer. Phil didn't pray in tongues for 30 minutes until the Spirit came into the car and it was the moment, the right moment. And he didn't ask me to get out the keyboard in the back on my iPad and start playing keys. Those things are good, but can I tell you that God wants to move when you're on the way? And on our way to church, before we even got to the meeting, Phil prays to this guy. His shoulder gets completely healed. He starts moving it around in the car and he's like, wow. Is this real? Is this real? Phil's like, "Yes, it's real." He says, "Is Jesus real?" We're like, "Yes, Jesus is real." He gave his life to Jesus as we pulled into the driveway of the church. We called the pastor to come down, gave him a Bible, connected him to a church in his suburb, in his region, and the guy got to experience the powerful and precious love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. But the miracle didn't happen in the church. It didn't happen in the temple. It happened when we were on our way. Don't discard what God can do when you're on your way. God wants to move through you when you're on your way. Beautiful, miraculous things don't just happen in church. They also happen outside the church. I think we need to start believing God for more miracles, not just in this building, but also in our city. It wasn't at their destination that the miracle happened. It happened on their way. The second thing that we notice in this passage is that the disciples, the Christians, the believers, they were easily interrupted. Turn to your neighbor beside you and say, "Are you easily interrupted?" Well, obviously you are. Are you easily interrupted? See, I don't know if it was the fact that the disciples walking past this man, I don't know if they saw the lame man and they had compassion on him and that's what led them to approach him, or if it was the presence of the Holy Spirit that was drawing their hearts to him. But regardless of which, they didn't ignore him. They saw him and they turned their eyes to him. And the man who was asking for their attention, the man who was asking for help, locked eyes with them and they said, "Look at us. Look at us." What do people see when they look at you? What do people see when they look at us? What do people see when they look at us when we're at work? When they look at us when we're at a cafe? Do people see someone who's fussy and angry about their coffee coming out cold? I know Pastor JJ said he's still working on that one. But just teasing. What do people see when they look at us? Do they see people who are available? Do they see people who are kind and compassionate, that have the time of day to stop like Jesus would have? These people were easily interrupted. They were approachable. And they allowed the Holy Spirit to interrupt their agenda. Can I tell you, I love planning. I love having an agenda. But my agenda is not my Lord. Jesus is. And I have to constantly surrender my agenda unto the Holy Spirit. If you want to see the miracle working power of God break forth in your life, if you want to see God align your agenda to His purpose, if you want to be people that live on purpose and live on mission, we have to be easily interrupted. We have to be. We have to be, because oftentimes what seems spontaneous to us is actually a divine appointment from the Holy Spirit. We have to be easily interrupted. And these disciples were listening. They were aware to the Holy Spirit. You know, I had to make some changes in my life because I used to be so distracted and I had really high input in my life. On my way driving to work, I'd be listening to worship music. Oh, worship music, so holy, so wonderful, so good, you know. You must be listening to God. No, I'm just listening to worship music. I'm not actually listening to God. And I'd be going through the shopping center and I'd do my Woolies. And some of you might think this is silly, but the young people would understand is I'm going through Coles or Woolies and I've got my earphones in and I'm listening to a podcast while I'm shopping and getting my groceries and I'm listening to some music and I'm doing my thing. And one day the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Cain, there are so many people in here that I want to speak to and minister to today, but you're not even aware of one of them. You haven't looked one of them in the eyes. You haven't seen one of them by the face. You haven't smiled at a single person. And I would want to speak to you right now, but you are so cluttered and so distracted with all this stuff in your ears. Not only in my ears, but I see after church, us go to cafes. You know, we go to cafes or we go to a lunch somewhere and we're waiting for the waiter or we're waiting for our bill and we're on our phones. Or we're waiting in the line at Coles and we're on our phone. We're not even aware of the people that are around us that God wants to touch, that God wants to reach. Can I tell you, if Jesus was walking the earth today, I don't expect him to be at Aldi on his phone. Why? Because the creator of humanity wants to meet with his creation. And he wants to do that through you. He's not moving through angels. He's moving through you. God's not sending an angel to reach your family member, to reach your cousin, to reach your co-worker. God is sending you. He has a plan to reach the lost. He has a plan to see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. But it's not going to happen through another spiritual being. It's going to happen through you, his sons and daughters. We need to be easily interrupted. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to interrupt our agenda. We need to be aware of His presence and listening. You know, one of our kingdom culture values at Pneuma is that His presence is our priority. That means His presence is our priority, not just in a service on a Sunday, but His presence is our priority on a Monday, on a Tuesday. His presence is our priority while we're at work and we're in our office, that we would be aware and listening for His presence. You know, I remember a time just a couple of years ago when we finished a meeting at church. And, you know, sometimes I can be a little bit disappointed because I have these high expectations that when we come together in the name of Jesus, that His presence and power is going to move, that people are going to be healed and people are going to be raised up and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I went to this church meeting and I'm there and I'm in this service at a Sunday night and we just didn't see anything crazy happen. Some of you live for the crazy. You're like, I want to see something crazy happen. I'm like that. I wanted to see something crazy happen. And it was just an ordinary service. And you know, I took some of the young adults from our church out and we went to a restaurant to get burgers. We went to Burger Urge. And while we're sitting there, we're about to have our burgers. We got our menus. The waitress comes around and she takes everyone's order. And I noticed that she had a brace around her wrist. It was all braced up and strapped up with a, I don't know, it was quite... looked heavy duty, actually. It's pretty cool. But She's, you know, taking everyone's order, and I'm thinking, wow, she's doing so well. She's holding all the menus, bringing out the cutlery. She's doing so well with whatever's happening to her wrists. And then I see her come out from the kitchen later on, juggling these burgers, even with this strapped up wrist. And I'm thinking, man, I could feel God's love for this girl, working hard, serving hard. She was only young, working hard and serving hard. Loving people with a smile on her face, probably doesn't have to show up to work, but she is anyway, and she's doing such a good job, even though she's damaged her wrist. God, I believe you want to heal this girl. And so she came around, she put the burger neatly on my table, and I said to her, hey, can I ask you a quick question? What's happened to your wrist? She said, well, I've actually broken it. I had an accident a few weeks ago, and I'm in recovery, and I've got a lot of pain. And so, yeah, I have to be careful when I'm holding these plates and bringing them to the table. But thankfully, it's got a big, strong, solid piece in here, so I can kind of rest the plate on that and bring it down. I said, you're doing so well. Thank you so much. I said, hey, I want to let you know that Jesus loves you. And I would love to pray for your wrist today to be healed. She goes, oh, no, I'm okay. I've got to get back to the kitchen. I'm fine. I'm okay. Can I tell you, people brush things off usually because they're awkward, not because they're not giving consent. So I often just ask a second time. I said, are you sure? It'll only take 10 seconds. It'll only take 10 seconds. I'd love to pray with you. Oh, no, I don't know. Sometimes I ask a follow-up question. Do you believe in miracles? See, some people don't believe in Jesus, but they believe miracles can happen. They just don't know they come from Jesus. So do you believe in miracles? Oh, I guess, yeah, I believe things can happen. I said, come on, give me your hand. It'll only take 10 seconds. She stretches out her wrist. I put my hand over her wrist and I prayed, Jesus, I thank you, you love your daughter. Right now I speak to these bones, muscles, ligaments, and tendons in the name of Jesus, be healed. To be honest, I didn't know what was going to happen. Even if she didn't get healed, at least I represented Christ well to her. At least she sees a Christian actually practicing what they preach. At least she sees someone who really believes what the Bible says and is stepping out in faith, willing to look foolish to care for somebody else. If nothing happened from then on, she would have gone home thinking, wow, that was so nice. That was so kind that person did that. Man, I haven't heard someone talk about Jesus in a long time. I wonder what this maybe gets online and looks up miracles or something like that. And maybe it's a seed that someone else waters for her to come and meet Jesus. But what happened was she started to move her wrist around and goes, holy beep! She's like, whoa, whoa. She took her strap off and she's like, man, it's good. Man, it's good. She ran back. I didn't see her for the rest of the night. I just prayed on the drive home, Lord, I pray you'd minister to her. I pray you'd reveal yourself to her. God, I pray that you'd send more Christians. Oh God, please wake Christians up so that somebody else could talk to her. Somebody else in her family. Maybe there's a Christian auntie who's been fearful or shameful or doesn't want to bother her niece. But God, please wake them up to go and share Jesus with her, because I've so deceived. God, I pray that you'd send someone else to go and water it. And I never saw her again. I remember sharing with some of our team at church. I shared and said, hey, this happened, and praise God, her wrist got healed. And sadly, someone said to me, well, Cain, did she give her life to Jesus? I said, no. This older man said, well, is she coming to church this weekend? Oh, probably not. Did you tell her where we are? Probably not. Well, what good was it anyway? She's probably going to hell. Man, I went home and I got down on my knees and I said, God, I pray you'd use that seed. Please send another. Please send another. Please send another. Praise God. He did a miracle somehow. Not through this woman's life, but through another. One Sunday, actually 2 years later, we had an altar call and I was preaching, and I came down afterwards and I met this young man who was in his early 20s, who just recently then gave his life to Jesus. And I'm sharing with him and talking to him. And I said, he said to me, mate, you look familiar. Where do I know you from? I said, I don't know, man. Like, what about you? Like, I work here. I go to the gym here. I don't know where you might know me from. What about you? Where do you work? Where are you from? And he shared, he goes, oh, I used to, I work at Kmart, but I used to work at Burger Edge. you're the guy at Burger Urge. I said, yeah, what do you mean? And he goes, bro, about 2 years ago, I was working in the kitchen cooking burgers, and one of our staff members runs back to the kitchen and says, my wrist has been healed. My wrist, Jesus healed my wrist. And he said, and it did something inside of me that thought, is this real? I need to go search for Jesus. He went and called his grandmother and said, Grandma, you believe in Jesus? What do I need to know this Jesus? Is this real? Is this real? And how's this? How's this? When he finished school, so he was, when he finished school, he went on to schoolies and some Red Frogs, you know, chaplains and volunteers came over and they shared a testimony with him, and they shared Jesus with him, watering a seed. He sees this woman come and someone else ministers Christ to someone else, and he hears the testimony of that. Something's happening in his heart. This seed is watering. Holy Spirit is ministering to his heart. Until one day he finds himself on the altar giving his life to the beautiful Savior Jesus. Sometimes miracles don't happen in church. They do happen in church. But did you know Jesus did more miracles on the streets than he did in the temple? Jesus did more miracles on the streets than he did in the temple. Jesus ministered to more people in parks than he did in the temple. So where might God be sending us? To your workplaces. I can't go into your workplace. I don't have your fob. I can't go into your family barbecue or gathering. God's sending you. The third and last thing we notice in this chapter that I want to draw to your attention today is that when they had this encounter with this man, they had something ready to give away. The Bible says, be prepared to have a reason for the hope that is within you. Do you know what is within you? Do you really know what is within you? I think if as Christians, if as believers, if we truly knew the power of God that is within us, the reality of Christ that is within us, if we truly knew what we had within us, we would have more encounters at a beautiful gate. Do you know what you have within you? Can I tell you, friends, Christ didn't die on the cross for you to be partially free, partially filled with the Spirit, and live an ordinary life, and one day, hopefully, you'll die, get to heaven, and you'll feel fully free, and you'll feel fully anointed and fully fulfilled. God chose to send Jesus to die on the cross so that you could be completely free, so that he would set you free from sin and fill you with righteousness, so that he would anoint you with the Holy Spirit and you'd be baptized, immersed in the Holy Spirit and in power, so that he would light you up to be a witness. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, so that you could be a witness to me in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, in Doncaster, in Melbourne, across Victoria and Australia, and to the ends of the earth. He is filling you with power. But you won't see these signs and wonders if you don't believe it. The invitation is, would you believe? Would you believe? The invitation for you today is, will you believe? Will you trust Jesus at his word? That not only does he give you a mission, but he gives you the power to fulfill it. That not only has he sent you into your workplace to just live a mundane life or to just tick the boxes and get the job done. No, but that you would carry the full force of the kingdom of God when you walk in there. That when you walk in there, principalities and powers are displaced. That when you walk in there, unclean spirits shrivel and shriek because you believe that the God who is seated on the throne, his Spirit is living within you. That the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you. Do you believe it? Jesus said, you will do greater works than these. So greater works than he has done, you shall do. Do we believe it? I want to encourage you today. If this message could encourage you anything, it is to awaken what is truly within you for the world that is around you. God is positioning you this week, Pneuma East, to miracles that are happening on the way. He is positioning you this week to be easily interrupted by the Holy Spirit. And He is positioning you to know what you have within you and be prepared and ready to give it away. You've got, if you've experienced something in Christ, if you've been washed free from sin, if He's broken the power of sin off of your life, you have a testimony to give away. If you have been sick and down and out, but you've been healed by the precious power of Jesus, you have something to give away. If you have been stuck, broken, and wanting to give up on life, if you've been burdened and depressed or anxious before, but Christ came alongside of you and He walked you out of that pit, then you have something to give away. Do you know what you have within you? Can we stand to our feet this morning? I want to pray for you today that the Holy Spirit would show you people in your world that He wants to minister to, that He wants to reach out to. So right now across this room, would you close your eyes and just open your hearts? I want you to ask this question out loud with me today. This is our prayer. Say, Holy Spirit, show me one person in my world that You want to reach this week. Now let Him show you. He might put someone on your mind. He might show you a face. You might know them by name. You may not know them by name. But Holy Spirit, who's one person in my world You want to reach this week? And secondly, I want us to ask Him this. Say, Jesus, show me how You want me to reach out to them. Show me how You want me to reach out to them. What is it, Lord? What is it that we can do? Is it offering a prayer? Is it sharing a testimony? Is it checking in to see if they're doing okay? Is it asking how their family is? Is it asking, hey, I just been thinking about you this week and I wanted to ask, is there anything I can pray for you or your family? God, I pray that we would be the answers to someone else's prayer, that You'd use us. And Lord, use us to water the seeds that You have sown in the hearts of people. Lord, we surrender to Your mission. Would you just pray that prayer with me? Lord Jesus, we surrender to Your mission. Use us. Fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit, not only on a Sunday, but even when we're on our way. Use us, Lord. And Jesus, we thank You for the honor that it is to be a part of this great mission. I thank You, Lord, that we are not alone. Holy Spirit, I pray You'd anoint Your church afresh today and send us out as a light into this world. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmark.church. Thanks for listening.